ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। Does anybody have tissues here? जय श्री श्री गौर निताय की जय। जय श्री श्री कृष्ण बलराम की जय। जय श्री श्री राधा श्याम सुंदर की जय। श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि हरि। श्रीमद् भागवतम एथ कैंटो चैप्टर 7 लॉर्ड शिवा saves the universe. Text, I think 30 and 31. Text 30 doesn't have any purport, so I will just read it through. Chaya tamadharmo mishu jair bishargo netratrayang satto rajas tamangshi shankhatmana शास्त्र कृतस्तवेक्ष छंदोमयी देव ऋषि पुराणः। ट्रांसलेशन बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्रील प्रभुपाद। ओ लॉर्ड, योर शैडो इज सीन इन इरिलिजियन। ओ लॉर्ड, योर शैडो इज सीन इन इरिलिजियन व्हिच ब्रिंग्स अबाउट वैरायटीज ऑफ इरिलिजियस क्रिएशंस। The three modes of nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, are your three eyes. All the Vedic literatures, which are full of verses, are emanations from you, because their compilers wrote the various scriptures after receiving your grace. Now you go to Text 31. Nate giritra khila lokopala birincha vaikuntha surendra gamyam yoti param jatra rajastamascha सत्तं न जद् ब्रह्म निरस्त भेदम्। ना नॉट ते ऑफ योर लॉर्डशिप गिरित्र ओ किंग ऑफ द माउंटेन्स अखिल लोकपाल ऑल द डायरेक्टर्स ऑफ डिपार्टमेंट्स ऑफ मटेरियल एक्टिविटीज Birincha, Lord Brahma, Vaikuntha, Lord Vishnu, Sura Indra, the King of Heaven, Gamyam, they can understand, Jyotihi, effulgence, Param, transcendental, Yatra, wherein, Rajaha, the mode of passion, tamascha, and the mode of ignorance, satyam, the mode of goodness, na, not, yat brahma, which is impersonal Brahman, nirastabhedam, without distinction between demigods and human beings. Translation by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the various directors of the material world certainly cannot appreciate it, or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or the King of Heaven, Mahendra. Please repeat after me. O Lord Girisha, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion, and ignorance, the various directors of the material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or the King of Heaven, Mahendra. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The Brahma Jyoti actually is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as stated in Brahma Samhita. Jasya prabha prabhavato jagadanda koti koti shashesha vasudhadi vibhuti bhinnam tad brahma nishkalam anantam ashesha bhutam govindam adi purusham tamaham bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete, and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. Although the impersonal feature of the Absolute is an expansion of the rays of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he does not need to take care of the impersonalists who enter the Brahma Jyoti. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Maya tatam idam sarvam jagadabhyakta murtina. In my impersonal feature, I pervade the entire universe. Thus the abhyakta murti, the impersonal feature, is certainly an expansion of Krishna's energy. Mayavadis who prefer to merge into the Brahman effulgence worship Lord Shiva. The mantras referred to in the text 29 are called Mukhani Panchoponishadas Dabesha. Mayavadis take all these mantras seriously in worshipping Lord Shiva. These mantras are as follows. 1. Tat Purushaya Vidmahe Santayai. 2. Mahadevaya Dhimahi Vidayai. 3. Tanno Rudra Pratishthayai. 4. Prachodayat Dhritai. 5. Aghorebhastama. 6. Atho Ghorebhyo Namaha. 7. Aghorebhyo Raksha. 8. Aghorotarebhyo Nidra. 9. Sarbebhyo Sarvo Vyadhiyai. 10. Sarvo Sarvebhyo Mritabe. 11. Namastestu Kshuda. Namastestu Kshudha. 12. Rudra Rupibhas Trishna. 13. Bamana Devaya Raja. 14. Jishthaya Swaha. 15. Sheshthaya Rattai. 16. Rudraya Kallanai. 17. Kalaya Kama. 18. Kalo Bikaranaya. Kalo Bikaranaya Sandhinai. 19. Balo Bikaranaya Kriya. 20. Balaya Vriddhai. 21. Balachaya. 22. Pramathanaya Dhartrai. 23. Sarvabhuta Damanaya Brahmanai. 24. Mana Soshinai. 25. Unmanaya Jwara. 26. Shodashatam Prapadayami Siddhai. 27. Saddhajataya Boi Namaha Rudrai. 28. Bhave Ditiyai. 29. Abhave Lakshmai. 30. Nati Bhave Medha. 31. Bhaveshwamam Kantai. 32. Bhavasadha. 33. Udbhavaya Prabha. 34. Ishana Sarva Vidhanam Shishinai. 35. Iswaraha Sarva Bhutanam Abhayada. 36. Brahmadhipatir Brahmanobhit Brahmanadhipatir Brahman Brahmas Brahmestada. 37. Shivame Astu Marichai. 38. Sadashivaha Jalinai. The impersonal Brahman, quite a relief to come out of that. The impersonal Brahman is unknown even to the other directors of the material creations, including Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, and even Lord Vishnu. This does not mean, however, that Lord Vishnu is not omniscient. Lord Vishnu is omniscient, but he does not need to understand what is going on in his all-pervading expansion. Therefore, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says that although everything is an expansion of Him, Maya Tatam Idam Sarvam, He does not need to take care of everything, Na Chaham Teshu Avasthitaha. Since there are various directors like Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and Indra. Om Ajnanati Mirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamaiham Dadati Swapadantikam. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shibashadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nate Giritrakhila Lokopala, Birincha Vaikuntha Surendra Gamyam, Jyoti Param Jatra Rajastamascha, Sattam Najat Brahma Nirastabhedam. O Lord Girish, since the impersonal Brahman effulgence is transcendental to the material modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, the various directors of the material world certainly cannot appreciate it or even know where it is. It is not understandable even to Lord Brahma, Lord Vishnu, or the King of Heavens, Mahindra. So, after the churning of the milk ocean, in order to get nectar, first came the terrible poison, halahal. It's not just a few drops, but an ocean of poison. And that poison is about to destroy the whole creation. So the Prajapatis, the controllers of different affairs of the material nature, the demigods, they actually saw the precarious condition of the universe due to the poison that emanated from the churning of the milk ocean. So they approached Lord Shiva, and they're offering prayers to him to save them from this situation. And this is one of the prayers, the previous one also. These are all, they're glorifying Lord Shiva, reminding him or admitting his inconceivable potency. And in course of that, they're offering their prayers. And in the purport, Srila Prabhupada actually mentioned 38 mantras that the worshippers of Lord Shiva glorify or meditate on him. These are actually Gayatri mantra. When you see Dhimahi, Swaha, Sadha. So in this way they are actually glorifying, or Prabhupada is pointing out that those who worship Lord Shiva, they worship him by chanting these 38 mantras. And also Prabhupada pointed out, who actually worship Lord Shiva? Who worship Lord Shiva? The Mayavadis. Who are the Mayavadis? Those who want to merge in Brahma Jyoti. Here also, there are those who want to merge into Brahma Jyoti. There are two varieties, two types. One is Brahmavadi, and the other is Mayavadi. The Brahmavadis are actually positively situated. Like, although they were initially situated in that impersonal aspect, but then they get promoted or elevated to the personal aspect. Like we have seen the four Kumaras, also Sukadeva Goswami. Initially they were Brahmavadis, they were impersonalists. But then they became devotees. But the Mayavadis cannot. Mayavadis are the offenders to Krishna. Mayavadi, Krishne, Aparadhi. Now what is Mayavad? What is the difference between Brahmavad and Mayavad? Mayavad actually has been established by Shankaracharya. Shankaracharya came with a specific mission. Initially, Buddha came with a specific mission. Krishna came as Buddha, Keshava Dhrita, Buddha Sharira. Why did Krishna come as Lord Buddha? Nindasi Jagga Viderahaha Shruti Jatam. The innumerable animals were being slaughtered in the pretext of Vedic sacrifice. seeing that sadaya hridaya darshita pashughatam, the tender heart sadaya hridaya of Keshava Krishna became afflicted seeing unnecessarily these animals were being slaughtered. So in order to stop that animal sacrifice, Keshava Dhrita Buddha Sharira, Krishna came as Lord Buddha. And appearing as Lord Buddha, what did he do? In the pretext, in the name of the Vedic injunction, animal sacrifice was going on. So in order to stop that, what did he do? He rejected the Vedas. There's no need to follow the Vedas. These are the doctrines that he gave, that be good, sattang bada, dharmang chara, speak the truth, follow the path of dharma. And so that was their way. Gave a very simple understanding. And what is the ultimate goal of life? By practicing that, what will be achieved ultimately? One will achieve nirvana. And what is nirvana? Nirvana means to become nothing. So, becoming nothing. That's why the Buddhists are called voidism or nihilism. Their doctrine is ultimately void, sunnavad. Buddhist doctrine is sunnavad. Sunna means zero, nothing. Become nothing, that's the ultimate goal of life. And so this is how Lord Buddha came, stopped animal sacrifice, and but in order to do that, he had to reject the Vedas. Actually, the negative things that was going on in the name of the Vedas, Buddha came to stop that, and for that, he kind of rejected the Vedas. No need to follow the Vedas. But if one doesn't follow the Vedas, how will one get to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Therefore, now there is a need to re-establish the Vedas. Therefore, Krishna instructed Lord Shiva that re-establish the Vedas. Mayavadam asachastram prachanna bodham uchyate. How did he do that? How will he do that? He told that to Parvati Devi, that I will establish an asat chastram. Asat means a temporary doctrine. Asat chastram, a temporary doctrine, known as Mayavad, which is actually prachanna bodham uchyate. It's actually covered Buddhism. Prachanna bodham uchyate. Mayaiva bihitang devi kalau. In the age of Kali, Brahmana murtina, appearing as a Brahmana. So who is that? Lord Shiva came as a Brahmana. Who is that personality? Shankaracharya. So Shankaracharya established a doctrine called Mayavad. So, what is this Mayavad? The Vedas are mentioning, Vedas are giving a theory which is called Parinambad, Brahma Parinambad. Parinam means transformation. Transformation of Brahman or spiritual energy. Brahma Jyoti is the spiritual energy. And this material nature is a transformation of that spiritual energy. Sarvam khallidam brahma. Everything is ultimately Brahman because it's a transformation of Brahman or the spiritual energy. So that is called Parinambad. That has been presented by Vasudev in the Vedas. Brahma Parinambad. But Shankaracharya came and presented a different doctrine. That is called, commonly called as Mayavad. But the Sanskrit term is actually Vivartavad. Original doctrine, according to the Vedas, is Parinambad, but Shankaracharya established a new concept called Vivartavad. Vivartavad means theory of illusion. The actual doctrine is the theory of transformation, but this is the theory of illusion. And what is the example of illusion? Just as a mirage in the middle of the desert gives the impression of water. That's illusion. There's no water. Rather, it's hot sand. It's not water, it's actually fire. But appears to be like water due to refraction of light. And another example is, just as one mistakes a rope to be a snake, in semi-darkness a rope appears to be like a snake. One mistakes a rope to be a snake. So these are the few examples of illusion. Not illusion means it's not there but appears to be. It is not but appears to be like that. So that is his, that's the doctrine that he established, Vivartavad. What appears to be the variegated, the variety of this material nature is not really there. It appears to be like that. Like mirage gives the impression of water, this material nature gives the impression of a variety. But actually, there is no variety, there is no variegatedness, no potency, no variety, nirakar, no shape, nishaktik, no potency, nirvishesh, no variety. And that is Brahman. So ultimately it is all Brahman, which doesn't have any shape or form, doesn't have any variety, doesn't have any potency, and so forth. And with that, he actually re-established the Vedas. How did he do that? He established that you are talking about Nirvana. The Buddhism, ultimate goal according to Buddhism is to become Nirvana. And Nirvana is to merge into or become nothing. So Shankaracharya established that you are talking about Nirvana, but Nirvana is a Vedic doctrine. According to the Vedas, it's not to become nothing, but it's become everything. Absolute. To merge into Brahma Jyoti is Nirvana. And Brahma Jyoti is the Absolute. And that Absolute, from that Absolute, everything has appeared as an illusory concept. And so this is how he did that, to re-establish the Vedas. He established a new theory called Veda Vivartavad or Kevaladvaitavad or Mayavad. Now the consideration is, why did Shankaracharya do that? He could have just established the Vedas. But we have to understand the scenario at that time. The whole of India at that time practically became Buddhists. whole of India practically became Buddhist. So now, to establish the Vedas, you know, removing their concept would be very, very difficult or impossible. So there was a consideration of pointing their fault in their doctrine to establish the Vedas. That's how Shankaracharya did. He took that concept of Nirvana and pointed out that what your understanding of Nirvana is a faulty understanding. The real understanding is the Veda, the one that is given in the Vedas, to merge into. He actually pointed out not to become nothing, but to merge into Brahma Jyoti. So, over and above of Shunyavad or voidism of the Buddhists, Shankaracharya established the impersonalism or Nirvisheshvad or Mayavad. So this is how Shankaracharya actually defeated all the Buddhists and then re-established the Vedas. So there is in Chaitanya Charitamrita actually gives a very clear understanding about that. It's saying, Ved na maniya buddha hoilo nastik. Because the Buddhists did not accept the Vedas, therefore they became atheists. But what Shankaracharya did, so in one word we can say that Buddhism is covered atheism. And Shankaracharya, what he gave is Prachanna Bodha Muchyate, covered Buddhism. So, in a way, impersonalism is a kind of atheism. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is saying that impersonalism is the worst atheism. Ved na maniya buddha hoilo nastik. Because the Buddhists do not accept the Vedas, therefore they become atheists. But Vedashraya nastikyobad buddhira odhik. On the foundation or on the basis of the Vedas, accepting atheism is even worse than Buddhism. Anyway, now the interesting thing is that how it gradually developed in order to stop animal sacrifice or all the undesirable activities that were going on in the name of the Vedas. Krishna came as Lord Buddha. Actually, the interesting thing is, in the age of Kali, how the Vedic doctrines will be contaminated or there will be very massive deviation from the Vedas. In order to destroy the proper dharma or the proper practice of spiritual activities, the Brahmanas actually destroyed the Vedas. Brahmanas were upholding the Vedic doctrines. But some Rakshasas took birth in the age of Kali. This is from Garuda Puran. Rakshasa kalimashritta jayante brahma jonishu. The Rakshasas took birth in the Brahminical families and that's how they destroyed the Vedic culture. Because the Brahmanas were upholding the Vedic culture and the Rakshasas appearing in the Brahminical family destroyed the Vedic culture. Anyway, so this is how it happened. First, due to the influence of the age of Kali, in the name of all kinds of undesirable activities were going on in the name of the Vedas. To stop that, especially to stop animal sacrifice, Krishna came as Lord Buddha and he stopped those undesirable activities, and in order to do that, he had to reject the Vedas, and then in order to re-establish the Vedas, he had to, he instructed Lord Shiva to come, and he did that. Vedas have been established, but the Vedic, actual Vedic doctrines hasn't been presented. It was a kind of a midway that Shankaracharya established. Then came Ramanujacharya. And Ramanujacharya actually defeated Shankaracharya's doctrines and presented personalism or devotional service as the very essence of the or ultimate goal of the Vedas over and above Shankaracharya's Mayavad doctrine. In simple words, how did he do that? One beautiful example is that, or what he did, one such example is, he raised the question, okay, fine, there is no water in the mirage. But somewhere the water is existing, that's why the mirage appears to be like water. If there was no water, there was no question of mistaking mirage to be a water. Fine, there is no snake in the rope, but somewhere the snake is existing, therefore it is rope is being mistaken as a snake. So the variety that we are existing in this material nature, personal or different forms and personalism that is experienced in the material nature, this one may not be real, but somewhere the real substance is existing. That's why there is this mistake. Mistakenly, this is. Therefore, this is how he established that the spiritual domain is not impersonal or without variety or without quality. The spiritual domain is, in the spiritual domain exists the real variety, real form, real potency, and real qualities. So this is how Ramanujacharya actually defeated Shankaracharya's Mayavad, which is known as, the doctrine is known as Kevaladvaitavad, with his Vishishtadvaitavad. Absolute, over and above absolute impersonalism, he established special impersonalism, or special non-duality, not impersonalism, special non-duality, Advaitavad. What is the special non-duality? The variety there is not same as material variety. That's the spiritual variety. The qualities are not material qualities, spiritual qualities. Another such example is that this material nature is a reflection of the spiritual reality. So whatever is existing in this material nature must be existing in the spiritual nature. Otherwise, how can they be? How can they be in the reflection? Like in a reflection, we are seeing a tree with green leaves, red flowers, and yellow fruits. In the reflection, we are seeing green leaves, yellow flower, and red flowers and yellow fruits. So in the real tree must be the, there must be the green leaves and so forth. That's why in the reflection they are appearing to be. So in this way, the Vaishnava Acharyas came and re-established the personal aspect of the Vedas. And there is a beautiful analogy in that respect. On the ground of atheism of Buddhism, Shankaracharya dug the foundation or established the foundation. On the foundation, Ramanujacharya, Madhvacharya, Nimbarkacharya and Vishnu Swami, the Vaishnava Acharyas, built a temple. And in that temple, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu established the deity of Radha Krishna. That is the total picture. How many of you have gone to Mayapur in Chaitanya Math? Have you seen Gandharvika Giridhari Gaurasundar temple that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur established? Did you see in four corners of the temple there are four Vaishnava Acharyas? So these four Vaishnava Acharyas actually established the doctrine, but there was a conflict between Shankaracharya's impersonalism and Vaishnava Acharya's doctrines. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu harmonized that. And the total picture we get when we see that the deities of Radha Krishna established in that temple. Now the thing is, when the foundation goes, how does the foundation go? The building will go this way, the foundation goes in the opposite direction. Therefore, it seems that Shankaracharya's doctrines are contrary to the Vaishnava doctrines. But in reality, Prabhupada mentioned, Shankaracharya is our Acharya. He recognized Srila Shankara Sripad Shankaracharya as our Acharya. And this is the understanding. Had Shankaracharya not come, Vedas couldn't have been established. So he established the Vedas, and on the foundation of the Vedas that Shankaracharya established, different Vaishnava Acharyas came and gave the perfect understanding. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu perfectly harmonized that, whatever little contradiction is there between those doctrines. Therefore, ultimately, as I was saying, that these Mayavadis or impersonalists don't really understand Shankaracharya's doctrine. There are so many reasons. The one Prabhupada mentioned so many times, that what is Shankaracharya's parting advice to his followers? Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Bhaja Govindam, Murhamate. You fools, worship Govinda, worship Govinda, worship Govinda. Prapte sannihita marane, nahi nahi rakshati dhumkrin karane. Your grammatical word jugglery is not going to help you at the time of leaving your body, at the time of death. Ante Narayana Smriti. At the time of death, you have to remember Govinda. But sometimes they are so adamant that they say, not all of them, but sometimes they come up with an argument. Murhamate. Shankaracharya gave this instruction to the fools. Murhamate. Those who are foolish, those who are not intelligent enough, they should worship Govinda, but those who are extremely intelligent, they should follow this impersonalism. Anyway, so actually they see that they are not, they don't really, their argument doesn't have any basis, because he's specifically saying, nahi nahi rakshati dhunkrin karane, at the time of death, your impersonalistic concept is not going to help you. Your grammatical word jugglery is not going to help you. So, so here we are seeing how Lord Shiva is being glorified. Therefore, we should understand, we should recognize that Lord Shiva is an expansion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Brahma Samhita is actually establishing. Lord's glance towards the material nature, that glance is actually Shambhu. That glance manifests in the form of Shambhu. That glance manifests in the form of Mahakal, the great time, which is the basis of material creation. That glance, through that glance, the living entities are projected into the material nature. Therefore, material nature, Mahamaya, material nature is Mahamaya or Durga. And who is Durga's husband? Lord Shiva. Why? Because through Lord Shiva, all the living entities are coming into the material nature. Therefore, Lord Shiva is worshipped in the form of Lingam. Because the living entities came into the material nature through the agency of Lord Shiva. Tashang Brahma Mahajonir Aham Bija Pradapita. In the vast womb of this material nature, I am the seed-giving father. So the personification of the seed-giving father is Krishna's expansion as Lord Shiva. Why? Because Krishna directly doesn't deal with the material nature. Material nature is his external energy. Therefore, he cannot directly deal with this material nature. Therefore, he does it through the agency of Lord Shiva. He transforms himself into Lord Shiva to deal with this material nature. Therefore, we know that Lord Shiva is the Gunavatar. We know that Lord Shiva is Vaishnavanam Jatha Shambhu. Therefore, we know that Lord Shiva is guarding the gate of Vaikuntha. So in order to enter into Vaikuntha, we have to go through Lord Shiva, or we have to go through the mercy of Lord Shiva. And we can see how he actually saves the universe. Although it was such a difficult situation to drink the poison, but only he could do that. And when that appeal came, Parvati did not hesitate. It's mentioned here because she knew who Lord Shiva is. And what did Lord Shiva do? He drank the poison and held it up to his, took it up to his neck and kept it there. And as a result of that, his neck became blue. His neck became blue. Therefore, another name of Lord Shiva is Neelakanta, one whose neck is blue. So this wonderful anecdote actually is glorifying Lord Shiva and teaching us how to become devotees of Lord Shiva. Not for, we don't approach Lord Shiva for liberation. We approach Lord Shiva for Krishna Bhakti. Because he is Vaishnavanam Jathasam. So our goal is to just get Krishna Bhakti, devotion to Krishna and nothing else. In that respect, there is a beautiful anecdote comes in, a consideration comes in, that Uddhava is actually asking, that Lord Shiva doesn't have a place to live, doesn't have clothes to wear. He lives in a crematorium. But his devotees are very opulent. Whereas Krishna is the supreme enjoyer, supreme controller. But his devotees are apparently poverty stricken. What is the reason? First consideration is The devotees are generally detached from material possessions, material enjoyment. Therefore, they don't desire anything material. Because Lord Shiva is a devotee of Krishna, therefore he doesn't care about anything material. But as a devotee, Lord Shiva is very quickly pleased. Therefore, demons take advantage of that. Materially motivated people take advantage of Lord Shiva. Because he is quickly pleased. So approach him, your desire will be easily fulfilled. But the ultimate conclusion is, ultimate consequence is, devotees of Lord Shiva get annihilated. I mean, those materially motivated devotees, ultimately they suffer. And an example of Lord Shiva has been given by this Brikasura. He is a devotee of Lord Shiva, apparently. And to please Lord Shiva, he is cutting his flesh and offering into the fire. Om Namah Shivaya. But Lord Shiva didn't come. So finally he is about to chop off his head and offer it to the fire. So Lord Shiva appeared and asked, "What do you want?" He said, "Give me the boon upon whose head I'll place my hand, his head will crack in 1,000 pieces. Lord Shiva said, "Fine." Then he said, "Is it true? You gave me that boon? Upon whose head I place my hand, his head will crack into 1,000 pieces. So let me try it on you." So Lord Shiva saw the critical situation that he was in and he ran. So he approached Krishna and said, "So I gave this boon to this demon and see what difficulty I've got into." Then Krishna said, "Okay." So he took the form of a little boy and came on the way to Brikasura and asked Brikasura, why are you running like that? What happened?" He said, "Look, Shiva gave me this boon and now when I try to test it, he's running away from me, so I'm just running after him." So he said, "What? He gave you the boon. How can anybody give a boon like that? And don't you know that after the Daksha's Jagga was plundered, Lord Shiva lost all his qualities to give boon to anyone? Why don't you put your hand on your head and see?" And he did that. He put his hand on his head and it cracked into 1,000 pieces and he met his end. So through that we are seeing the attitude of these so-called devotees of Lord Shiva. They are extremely selfish individuals. All they care is about their own benefit, own agenda to fulfill. Anyway, so we recognize Lord Shiva as Vaishnavanang Jatha Sambhu. We see him as Shivam, who brings all auspiciousness. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Gaur Premanande Hare. Does anybody have any question? Maybe you can have one or two questions. Yes. Okay, let's take this question first.
Which were quite confusing for me. I'm just reading out In 8.7.23 it was said that you assume the names Brahma, Vishnu and Maheshwara. So it seemed like...
Assume the name. Brahma, Vishnu, you said 8 point. Huh?
8.7.23.
You were talking about those mantras.
I'm just talking about previous verses.
Oh.
And many places, glorification is happening and it's giving an impression as if Shiva is the origin of Vishnu rather than the other way around. So can you please throw some light on that?
Well, you know, like, while you are glorifying, then... when you see Lord Shiva as an incarnation of Krishna, Vishnu, then you don't see any difference between him and Vishnu. Most probably in that context it has been said that he is the origin. Like as an expansion or incarnation of Vishnu, he is seen in that way. Thank you. Okay, one question right at the end. How will you pass it? So you have to ask a Buddhist about that. That's the point. You know, you cannot become nothing. You know, that that doctrine is full of fault, but for the, it's a temporary, you know, he did it in order to achieve something. And in order to do that, he did bewilder the people. Like, the Buddhist doctrine has also been pointed out. Prabhupada mentioned in so many times that you have a boil in your leg. The boil is causing you pain, so you get rid of your leg. Because the leg is causing the pain, the boil is in the leg and the boil is causing pain, so get rid of the thing, boil. Get rid of the leg. The body is the source of misery, source of suffering. The Buddhists actually take this doctrine from the Naya. Take any part of your body and see how many ways you can inflict pain in that part of the body. And that concept can be applied to any part of your body. Therefore, the body is an instrument for receiving pain. So get rid of the body, then there won't be any pain. Alright? But the thing is that by getting rid of the body, by becoming nothing, you do not become free from the painful situation. There is a way to become situated in absolute joy, and that is by being situated in your spiritual identity. They do not really... that's why they're atheist in a way, because they do not accept the form of the Lord, or they do not accept their spiritual identity in the proper spiritual concept or proper spiritual context. They see their spiritual identity in the material context. Okay, so thank you. Okay, last question. Yeah, some very special mercy is needed for that. Good point actually you brought. Anyway, why Mayavadis cannot become a devotee? Because the Mayavad concept is Brahman is the ultimate. Brahman in the mode of goodness is incarnations. Brahman in the mode of passion is jiva. And Brahman in the mode of ignorance is vastu. Right? The material aspect. Therefore, their understanding is when a living entity, when a human being becomes a sannyasi, he becomes Narayan. You get it? Like Brahman, see, the form, the incarnations or the transcendental appearance of the Lord is a material concept. Transformation of Brahman in the mode of goodness. Therefore, they cannot accept the transcendental or absolute spiritual identity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they cannot become devotees. But they have to give up that concept. Yes, a Mayavadi can become. But it's difficult. In order to do that, he'll have to give up that Mayavad concept totally and accept it fully. Okay. Thank you. Another question. Okay. Krishna doesn't?
Get involved?
Yes, yes. In the purport it said.
Yes. But very often devotees mention that everything that happened to them is Krishna. Like diseases or problems. So is it correct to say that it's Krishna or is it just karma that is acting?
Yes. The karma is taking place because of Krishna's arrangement. See, the karmic law has been established by Krishna. Krishna is not involved. Right? In the material nature, Krishna is not, you know, getting involved. Krishna gave the living entities the freedom. You can act the way you want. You wanted to be independent. You have full right to become independent. But the way you act, you'll get the reactions of those actions. And those reactions will take place in different modes that you act. Mode of ignorance will generate one kind of reaction. Mode of passion will generate another kind of reaction. Mode of goodness will generate yet another kind of reaction. Right? So this arrangement has been made by Krishna. Therefore, a devotee sees that ultimately Krishna is the cause. We are acting, we are getting... Say, generally they are recognized that it is their own karma that is getting it. But at the same time, they also recognize that it is Krishna who is behind everything. And that's why they put it that way. Well, when you take shelter of Krishna, then Krishna directly does that. Yes. When you take shelter of Krishna, aham tvam sarva papebhyo mokshayishyami. Krishna says that when you take shelter of me, then all your karmas are finished. You are under my care. The thing is, to the extent you surrender, to that extent you'll be free from karma. Right? Because, you know, when we are not fully surrendered, then there'll be certain amount of karma we have to go through. But therefore, devotee sees that when good things happen, he says Krishna's mercy. When bad things happen, they say it's my karma. Whereas the materialistic people, when good thing happens, they say it's due to my arrangement. And when bad things happen, they say it's Krishna's fault. Okay? Yeah, the bottom line is that, yeah, in this material nature, we have to feel ourselves, we have to hold ourselves responsible for our actions and reactions. But at the same time, we depend upon Krishna. And that's why you surrender unto Krishna. Okay, thank you. Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.